Okay. Who are you?
So I'm Frank McSherry. I'm a researcher down with Microsoft Research in Silicon Valley. Here to tell you about a project that we've been working on with privacy-preserving data analysis. So the idea is to set up some sort of infrastructure platform. Analysts can come, developers can come, and write analyses or programs against sensitive data sets. So you think medical data maybe, or search logs, or financial educational data, all sorts of neat stuff that is definitely sealed up at the moment for privacy concerns, and we're hoping to give an API that lets people go in, do some data analysis, get the answers back without having exposed the information to them.
Say, get ready for the press day tomorrow.
Yeah, so one example that happened was some researchers at America Online infamously released some data, and it turned out that data... somebody could actually identify the user.
Absolutely.
So is this project to alleviate those concerns?
So this would definitely mitigate all of those concerns. The main departure, actually, from a lot of the previous research that people have done is that we don't try to take data, scrub it, and look for sensitive information and erase that, and then hand the data to researchers. We actually provide a way for people to curate their own data, in some sense. So America Online would keep their data, provide access to it, but carefully sort of shielded it in a way. The access is controlled. People come and pose questions, but they don't actually get raw data back. They get answers to questions like how many people have searched for the following types of queries over the past few weeks, or things like this. Take all of the people in this zip code and turn them around a little bit and see what they've been searching for, or whether they've been clicking through on certain ads, or who knows. But all sorts of questions they ask of the data, but don't actually get the data to play with themselves. So all the data processing happens with the data, and very careful mathematics are involved to make sure that privacy really is preserved.
So is it that there's summary data that's returned that can't identify somebody, or couldn't I just take two result sets and then merge them and get a...
So it's a good question. The information that comes back is not actually going to be data values themselves. So you interact with the data through this API that looks a lot like Link, this language integrated queries language extension .NET, where you transform the data. You use standard database type queries like join and select and where.
Sure.
And then you hit them with aggregates. So you do counts, sums, things like this that will essentially pull out statistics about the data. This information comes back. So you don't get the intermediary data showing you partially reconstructed data sets or anything like that. You get back numbers. These numbers are the information you wanted to tease out of the data, in some sense.
Sure.
It's a little counterintuitive at first. You think about, wow, can I really program that way, not actually getting a pile of data sitting on my computer and flipping through it.
Right.
But you rethink your programs. In fact, a lot of stuff can be done this way. I've got a few examples. You'd like to see them?
Okay, let's see.
Great.
Right.
So this is some output. I'll just show you what it is first, and then I'll show you how it was put together. It's really simple. This is some data that was taken from AdCenter's query logs. A bunch of information about who is searching for and clicking on what terms, what IP addresses they came from. Very sensitive information that we're not willing to give out to people. However, we wrapped it with this privacy stuff and are actually able to post queries. And what I've done here is taken a few different queries. These are sports queries. Different demographics, presumably, that are interested. This is cricket, for example. And have gone and essentially done some statistical analysis to try to understand the distribution of these queries across the globe.
So these are the people that are interested in cricket
worldwide? In a sense, they're not actual people, of course. So it's a... essentially a visualization of what we've learned about the distribution of people. Of course, there's no one up here off the coast of Greenland. We hope a few other people scattered around places where obviously people don't exist. This is all simply an artifact of the fact that the data doesn't tell us where continents are or what have you.
Sure.
Thrown down on top of virtual Earth, there are 4,000 odd people who actually searched for cricket, so it's relatively sparse information. But we are able to determine there's a lot of interest in the UK and India compared to the US. When I show you some of the other sports, we'll see a shift away. So we do hockey, for example. It's almost all over here in the U.S.
Baseball. And high in Canada as well.
Yep, and we'll see. So we do baseball. Everything shifts south a little bit, basically, in the U.S.
Sure, sure.
Makes a lot of sense. You have more interesting queries like football, which in the U.S., this was done just after, I believe, the Super Bowl. A lot of interest in the U.S., but you, of course, have interest with a different meaning of the word football over in Europe. France and the U.K. are very excited about this. So let me show you how this was done. It's actually really, really simple.
And this is how developers would use it.
So developers, I'll show you the code. this is actually, each of those things was just an HTML file that had been spat out by this program here. This program is really the whole thing.
Can you increase the font size real quick?
Sure, let me...
Tools options.
Tools, wonderful.
Fonts and colors.
Never done this before. It's up to...
Yeah.
14?
Perfect.
All right, let's see if I can slide this over. So, let me start. This is the main for the program. If you look at the slider bar over here, it's almost all... this is the main chunk of the program. We're going to see a little bit more, and then a whole bunch of HTML stuff that just gets sped out without doing a lot of thinking. The main body of the program behaves a lot like Link, if people have seen Link before. This is the language integrated query database interaction that is integrated into C#.
Mm-hmm.
The main idea, though, is you start out, you open up some data sources. This is a protected data source here. This ping queryable type is this object that we provide. We're going to grab, of course, some query string, either take it from the input or default to, let's say, Cricket. And now we start playing with the data. So we're describing what we want to do with the data. We don't actually have the data in our hands, but we're describing programmatically that we want to take our input, which is initially a bunch of strings. We're going to split them based on commas, because that's how the data looks. We go and grab the second element there, which is the query, and we chop it up based on spaces, and we look for those queries that contain the word we're interested in. And then grab the first thing, it's an IP address, we break it up into the four little parts, and reassemble it, throwing away the last byte of the IP address. And then we're going to do just some more transformations. We're going to put stuff back together. We're going to join it with the data set that we have. So a privacy-protected map from IP addresses to lat-long coordinates.
Mm.
Also sensitive data. I mean, it's public in the sense that you can go and buy this from some provider, but imagine that they don't want to just hand it over to people. Doing some joins, do some more selects to turn the data into continuous 0 to 1 values. And then we just run off and start doing some analysis. At this point, we just have this big, long list of people who have searched for Cricket. What long chords do we have associated with them? Still totally private, totally protected, wrapped up, not present on the computer here, but on the remote server where this is.
Now, is this a custom implementation of Link, or so did you all take
a great question.
Link? Or
so actually, it's really nice. It wraps around an arbitrary Link provider. So
okay.
It's actually just a little bit of logic that goes around all these executions. You ask, well, I'd like to do a join or a select, and it thinks for a second, and there's some very nice, simple mathematics that tell you whether this is okay or how much worse does it make the privacy situation.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath is just a link provider. So if you have a fancy link provider, you can use that. We're using, for example, Dryad Link, which is this MSR product from SVC also that does a link implementation across clusters of up to 1,000-odd computers or so.
So it's high-performance, parallelized?
It certainly can be. It's not the high-performance aspect is not what I've done.
Okay.
But if we have one, and we do have one in MSR, you can use it.
Sure, sure.
If you have, you know, link to SQL or something like that, you can implement that. You have link to XML, a few different link providers that people have out there. You can put any of them behind the privacy work and just wraps around it. It does some logic and checking about the types of queries you want to execute.
Okay, cool. So, all right, so now we have the results, and how big, you said this was 4,000?
Well, so Cricket is about 4,000 or so. There aren't all so many people using Live Search who are searching for Cricket on this specific day.
Okay.
Different searches lead to different amounts. This was captured just one day, a certain chunk of the data. The more results you have, the better, of course. If you have all of the search terms out there, this is enormous. You get much more accurate data, much more meaningful data.
Mm-hmm.
Out of it, the privacy guarantees aren't as, say, detrimental or something. But once we grab these lat-long things, we run up. There's another little bit of code up here, this histogram code here, which is not going to do anything terribly complicated. It's going to take these things and more or less chop them up spatially. So it's going to take the whole world and say, well, how many people are there in the whole world? It's 4,000 plus or minus. Then we'll start chopping up the map into four pieces. So
mm-hmm.
Upper right, lower left, lower right, how many people in each of those. And as long as the count is large, it will continue recursively. So it'll drill down as long as there are a lot of people, chop up the next region into four parts, drill down. All of this is done totally privately. It's using the language that we've provided. It's something you could do in Link, essentially doing a group by, in mm-hmm. some sense. Grouping by, you know, if we strip off all but the first bit in the description of their location. And just standard Link operators that actually do something clever and cute. Instead of just counting once and for all, we get these sorts of results where we learn densities throughout various parts of the, for example, U.S.
Now, one question here. So what would happen as you're dividing up the world and you see that, you know, that result in Alaska, there was only, like, one person?
Right. So this is
does it eliminate the result because it could then be identifiable, or how exactly does that
it's
work?
It's a great question. It's the way this is actually going to work is that when you do a query, like, how many people are that you do a count, the answer that comes back is not entirely accurate. That's essentially the guarantee. We're going to put it to within plus or minus a relatively small amount, so it'll be off. But if you see something on the order of one or two, the sane thing to do is to stop at this point. So I'm not sure that there's actually anyone there. Mm-hmm. It could have been hallucinated for me. On the other hand, so this is where you see all these random speckles out in the oceans and stuff like that. These are places where we said, I don't really know if there's anyone there or not. Let me just stop.
Mm-hmm.
The other hand, since you're only adding a small amount, you know, you have places like New York City where there's a huge number in there. You'll drill down very accurately and you can actually get all the way down. Essentially, you can see Manhattan and whatnot, not through the maps, the virtual Earth maps that are, of course, very nice, but just through the data, just seeing that
sure.
a whole truckload of people have come out of this this lat long that's essentially mapping out the boundary of New York City for you. So definitely randomization is used in preserving privacy. There's although it's maybe not obvious through the code, and it's not meant to be obvious, there's a lot of really nice mathematics under all of this that actually seriously guarantees privacy.
Okay.
Very strong notion. This is previous work that we've done at MSRSVC on how to formally define and guarantee privacy. We've tried to make it as unobtrusive as possible, in some sense.
Sure, sure. So the developers that are just using it just has a query and an API.
Yep.
And is this something folks can use, or is this just being used within MSR, or are you all looking to have a sort of public API where somebody could send in a privacy query and get these statistics on search results?
It's a great question. I think it's the sort of thing that we want to, if we do, roll out slowly and sort of in measured form.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with a lot of people who are excited about using this internally.
Sure.
People externally are also excited about using it, though we don't have any particular concrete plans that we're really going to go forward with. It's something we'd absolutely love to make available generally to people. It's great for all sorts, not just Microsoft research, but people doing public policy, trying to understand if changes in the tax code have actually done what they've intended to do by analyzing tax returns.
Yeah, it's important to say this is not just for search results. This is a general purpose, yep. privacy for Link, if you will.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So
definitely the case.
Cool. All right. Well,
thanks very much.
Great. Thanks.